we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a letter from the Bank of Scotland, read by Neil Sleat.
I'm writing to let you know about some important changes to your Bank of Scotland high-interest current account. We'll be changing the conditions of your account, and to reflect this, we're also changing the name to Bank of Scotland Current Account.
And our thanks to Jane Stovall for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Steve Punt. Opposite them on my left, Robin Ince and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, have a listen to this. Francis, whose appearance raised a lot of questions this week?
Is it the Pope?
Absolutely. 2 points.
But it might be Nick Griffin.
It is Nick Griffin.
Yeah, he was on Question Time.
Yes.
Nick Griffin, that magnificent advertisement for the Aryan Master Race. Because this is the extraordinary thing about Griffin. He's tried to rebrand the BNP and say all that Nazi Holocaust denial stuff, that's all in the past. We're now a respectable party. But he cannot keep off the subject. I mean, only this week when General Sir Mike Jackson and various other people implicitly criticised him, immediately said, oh, you deserve the same fate as the Nazi generals at Nuremberg, except they didn't deserve it, obviously. And you think, why just not try to get through a whole day without mentioning the Nazis if you want to pretend you're not a Nazi party?
It was unfortunate that every time David Dimbleby asked a question, Nick Griffin's right arm shot up.
I like the placards outside the BBC. There was someone, you know when you see extraneous words? And one of them was, say no to racist Nazis. I think, we'll take it as read, the racist, but I think just say no to Nazis. It's a bit like they go, vile sex pervert, and you go, oh, not one of the benevolent ones, then.
They're so really bad, they're Nazi like that. Did you see their membership list leaked yet again this week onto the internet? And it turns out they have these different categories of membership in the BNP. There's standard membership, family membership, and then a thing called gold, BNP gold. 2 hours of non-stop solid gold classics. The Nuremberg rallies.
What did you think about them being on the program?
Well, everyone keeps saying, oh, it's about freedom of speech. We don't have freedom of speech in this country anyway, and rightly so. I mean, you might as well say, well, I mean, why not have paedophiles on CBeebies? Yes, because they've got a point of view. If they want to get their message across to children, then, you know, it's up to the children themselves to make their own... He's on record as saying that when we get hold of the BBC, we'll stop pretending. There's tape of him saying we're pretending that not to be racists, and when we get power, then we'll kick every last one out. There's tape of him saying this.
He's not hiding it well, though, is he? It's not that pretend thing.
I felt a bit sorry for all the other shows that had to record at Television Centre on Thursday night. Also there on Thursday night was Piers Morgan, who, again, differently, you think, turns up, sees thousands of people baying with hatred, and it's just another day at the office, presumably.
Because apparently the protesters broke through the police cordon, and they got as far as the BBC reception, known as the station, and they came face-to-face with Piers Morgan. You think, that is one way to break up a protest.
There was a letter in, I can't remember which newspaper, on Monday, which did actually say, I'm not someone who would join or indeed vote for the BNP, but at least by Nick Griffin being on Question Time, we can at last have a reasoned and open debate about immigration. And that to me was just a fact. When does a debate become reasoned and opened? Well, the people who've used bamboozled figures and indeed outright lies, at last we can have a reasoned and open debate. At last, I found a golden retriever that barks at black people. At last we can have a reason. What do you think? Yes, I agree. Many of them.
Amidst much controversy, BNP leader Nick Griffin appeared on the BBC's Question Time, but a cruel prankster told him it was fancy dress week and he took to the stage dressed as a politician. Before the show, Griffin claimed there would be an hysterical atmosphere in the studio and outside, obviously mistaking Question Time for a recording of Moneybox Live. 2 points to Francis.
I've got some quotes from Nick Griffin. Sadly, though, it's not the indigenous middle class, hard-working, tax-paying population that's exploding. My worry is how many immigrant mums have contributed anything to this country before landing us with another child to educate. Oh, no, hang on, that was Amanda Platell in the Daily Mail. That's odd. Anyway, I just... The Daily Mail, which today was having all their anti-Nick Griffin, and then you turn the page and it goes, there's going to be 70 million soon.
22,000 complaints this week to the Press Complaints Commission about the Daily Mail. The Press Complaints Commission, run by the editor of the Daily Mail. Hardly bear it.
I didn't think the Sudoku was that hard.
Steve, whose walkout has received the stamp of disapproval?
This, I assume, must be the postal strike. The postal workers have walked out for 48 hours. It has to be 48 hours, because if they walk out for 24, nobody notices the difference. But the astonishing thing about the postal system is, I don't know whether you've ever read Sherlock Holmes stories, but if you read Sherlock Holmes, it becomes very obvious very quickly that the postal service we have now is nowhere near as good as it was 100 years ago. Sherlock Holmes quite often dashes off a note to Lord something of What's-It and sends it off to the middle of Dartmoor, and Watson trots off the post office and they have a reply by the following afternoon. And you think, this is unbelievable. If he had to use today's postal system, the Hound of the Baskervilles would have eaten the whole population of Devon before he'd even got his Bradshaws out. And it's very depressing, because there are other things that are not as good as they were 100 years ago, but there's a reason for that. It's much harder, for example, to buy hay in central London.
There were some people who felt that it was an insult to the Royal Mail's royal insignia to go on strike, and I thought, but surely there's nothing more royal than refusing to work. Perfectly reasonable.
So, no, I just think the Communication Workers Union said that Peter Mandelson, while pretending to want a settlement, had been secretly conspiring with the head of Royal Mail to undermine the peace talks. And Mandelson's office put out a statement saying, this is ridiculous. Can anyone imagine Lord Mandelson doing anything so devious as that? He's got a point. It's not his style.
It had become horrible, though, because apparently the union tried to deliver Mandelson a horse's head, but it wouldn't fit through the letterbox. Now he's got to collect it from the depots.
Both parties seem to think the solution is to privatise the post office. But as far as I'm aware, and there may be something that I've missed on this, the delivery of written communications within the British Isles is a royal monopoly. It's the Royal Mail, and it has been for 400 years. It's a big constitutional change to privatise the post office, and they have to ask the Queen. And she may not approve. You know, she may not give them image rights for the stamps. If they privatise it, you might have to stick little Richard Branson's on your envelope. Or even worse, they might sell it to that bloke from Ryanair, and the post will cost a penny, but you'll have to deliver it yourself.
It's terrific, though, because it means we don't have to send out Christmas cards. We can just pretend we sent them out.
Well, apparently, this year's Christmas posting deadlines have already been moved to last September.
And as we're all huddled around over Christmas waiting for the parcels that never arrive, Bob Geldof will put together an emergency single of a sort of Live Aid, Band-Aid sort of thing. And there won't be posting Godalming this Christmas.
They'd at least put the strike day on a Sunday, because it'd be less disruption. That would be better, wouldn't it?
So in one way, it's bad that you're right, that it was better in Sherlock Holmes' time, but I prefer getting letters that say, would you like the National Geographic £15, as opposed to another letter about murdering pygmies again? When will they leave our barges alone? That was overly specific about the sign of four. Welcome to the factual accuracy corner. Politics for Jeremy.
Actually, that Watson sells them has to say, I'm afraid it's just the Bowdoin catalogue again, Holmes.
Look at this, it's an alarm clock and an opium pipe. It's just
The Communication Workers Union has pressed ahead with a 2-day postal strike after accusing Peter Mandelson of undermining peace talks with Royal Mail. The Royal Mail have denied that this year's Christmas stamp will be a brazier on a picket line franked with the words, sorted by scabs. Picture of the Queen looking slightly disapproving. 2 points to Steve. Robin, who would be shamed if our rights were written off?
Oh, this is the guy from the DPP.
Yes.
Who's, yeah, that's the way I work. I haven't slept, by the way, for a day because I have a child who at three this morning was making me sing monkey music. Therefore, you're very lucky that most of my answers aren't Iggle Piggle Wiggle Woo. How Derek Jacobi gets through King Lear without breaking into an Iggle Piggle medley, I have no idea.
Am I right, Robin, that your son is now 32? Is that...
It is the fact that the head of the DPP has basically said David Cameron believes that the Human Rights Act is a nonsense. It's merely a licence for lesbian pickpockets to go around their business in whichever way they want. So he said it's going to be changed and turned into a kind of Bill of Rights because the Human Rights Act supposedly is entirely for criminals, burglars and people who aren't from around here.
Well, they did say that the Conservatives say that the Human Rights Act is not the only way to implement human rights in Britain, and they didn't come up with anything else. The naughty step, presumably, you'd think would be a good.
It does to me seem absolutely fascinating that we have entered a world where human rights somehow means something nefarious and wrong and evil.
Well, it's because it's European, isn't it? Because it sounds too European. I mean, I think clearly we learnt nothing from the GIF-SIF fiasco that it's. But they want the Bill of Rights to be more British, and I was wondering what kind of rights do you think would make it
we haven't got any, we actually haven't really got any rights at all, have we? The only rights we've got now is you can graze your geese on common land and take things back to Marks and Spencer's. they were all abolished by the last government. They were all abolished by John Major, most of our
they
rights.
They weren't. It was passed in 1689, the Bill of Rights. Cameron's obviously never heard of it. It's been on statute book ever since.
He did say that great thing where, I talk about this case, where he went, they're just out of step with public opinion. Could you imagine a world which was led by public opinion? That would be an absolute disaster. Public opinion, which is mainly formed for kind of graffiti of news media. I remember Brian Sewell once, who I'm not always in agreement with him. I felt that the last exhibition of the Tate Modern was excellent. But nevertheless, he said he was once asked about Princess Diana being a big statue for her. And he went, well, I think it would be a ridiculous idea. I think they should have built hospitals instead. And someone went, yes, but it's what people want. Him. Yes, but people are idiots.
Well, the Director of Public Prosecutions, Keir Starmer, has staunchly defended the Human Rights Act, saying that repealing it, as proposed by the Tories, would shame Britain. David Cameron has repeatedly pledged to abolish the Human Rights Act because it flies in the face of common sense. Yes, indeed. Human rights, what a load of silly nonsense. I can tell you that at the end of round one, Robin and Jeremy have got 4 points, but in the lead are Francis and Steve with 5. And we start round two with a cutting from the Herald magazine TV listings.
8 p.m, EastEnders. Heather's waters break during her surprise baby shower.
And our thanks to Kathleen Stevens of Fife for sending us that. Francis, who's angling for Anglicans?
It's the Pope.
It is.
He's coming over here and stealing our Christians. Except he's quite choosy. He only wants the anti-gay and anti-women ones.
Okay.
I mean, this is a man who was a member of the Hitler Youth, we have to remember. Amazed he hasn't been invited onto Question Time, really.
What I did like, they said that the Anglicans who enter the Catholic Church will be allowed to maintain their Anglican traditions. And I didn't know what that meant. They're allowed to take their tambourines. I'm not sure what that...
it's something wonderfully undemonstrative about Anglicans. I'm always amazed when you see those American churches, you know, and people go, have you seen the light? And they all go, yeah! You try that in a Church of England church. Have you seen the light? Quiet, please. This is a residential area. Just wouldn't work. It doesn't work at all.
It is terrible when they try and go a bit happy-clappy. There are some happy-clappy Anglican communities. It's really shocking, the spectacle of 200 white people trying to clap in time.
Glad to get rid of the ones who are vaguely homophobic and misogynistic. We're rather pleased, aren't we?
No, they're not going to leave. They're not all going to go and live in the Vatican. They will be here, but they will be franchised out. It'll be...
it'll be like a sort of KFC type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's not like Kentucky Fried Chicken, is it? Because they're not actually becoming full-on Catholics, are they?
Right.
It's more like Tennessee Fried Chicken.
Oh, so
it's the
it
one that you
like...
think when you go in it's going to be as delicious as Kentucky Fried Chicken may be, but then you find out it hasn't actually got the same rigorous standards. I used to find that bizarre. That used to say, you know, a secret blend of 38 herbs and spices. That's everything, isn't it? That's not a secret. What is it? It's made of everything.
But does this this mean that Henry VIII murdered and divorced all those women for no point at all?
Oh, be fair, you know, everyone sees it from the women's side. You know, he had his issues too there.
Maybe, secretly, he signed a 500-year franchise deal, which has just expired. I may have just written Dan Brown's next novel for him.
Did you see that man, Father Ed, who...
Ed Tomlinson.
Who complained about taking funerals that were basically run by secular humanists who preached a lot of platitudes. And that was his job, and he felt a bit left out. And they played Tina Turner and Robbie Williams. And he's complaining about this.
Well, he was going on and on about Tina Turner songs. And I thought, what songs does he mean? Nutbush City Limits? What are people playing?
Private Dancer is a lovely thing to your grandmother.
I'm with it. I agree, because funerals have got... It's terrible now. You get some poor six-year-old who's been egged on to read a poem and you think, oh, leave him alone. He just lost his nan and it's not 6 months since he lost his hamster. And so he's lost two key figures in his life in 6 months and at least one used to give him sweets. Mind you, at least the hamster got a much-coveted plot in the back garden, unlike Nan, who was roasted and ground like a Winsiette-clad coffee bean at the municipal dump for the dead. Because although I'm broadly speaking an atheist, I don't want the bloody humanists getting hold of me. And I don't. You know, you go to crematoria. And you think, oh no, you wouldn't want to get married in one, would you? Well, they pretend that they know. The annoying thing is, vicars and priests and rabbis and imams never really pretended that they knew the deceased. But now you get some bloke comes along, spends a week with you, and then turns up like he knew the person. Yeah. Whereas a vicar just used to say, "And so we say farewell to Edna, mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, cousin, corpse."
I am so going to your funeral.
I make provision. I've decided I'm going to be scattered. Not cremated, just scattered.
The question was about... about the Catholic Church. The Pope is looking to poach Anglicans. Well, better poaching than the frying they used to do. The Pope has issued a decree that would allow thousands of Anglican vicars and their congregations to join the Roman Catholic Church. 2 points. Jeremy, why might 12 angry men also become bored and fidgety?
The Lord Chief Justice, Lord Judge, the fantastically named Lord Justice, Judge, Justice, Chief, Big Chief Justice Judge... He says, I watch my grandchildren on their electric typewriting machines and they seem to be quite enjoying them, and I can't imagine that these young people will grow up and be jurors, because they seem to like very much to look at Bebo and such like devices and distractions. So when they come to judge complex fraud trials, they won't understand. And they will constantly be running down to PC World for an upgrade and such like. And so he says, well, but he hasn't come up with an answer, you see. He said, what's his answer?
He said that in about 15 years they should do away with witnesses and have it all downloaded onto computers for the jury, because they'll just be staring at their iPhones.
Well, so you stay at home and
turn it into... You just sort of have the evidence delivered in the form of small tweets and apps and things, and then they'll get the hang of it.
Well, it's because the theory is that people are not good at listening anymore. And I think they should pick the juries from the news quiz audience. I think people at home don't realise that they're listening to an edited 30 minutes, and for the audience here in the theatre, this is day four.
Trouble with being someone like the Lord Chief Justice is people listen to all your musings and then write newspaper articles. If you're a cab officer, you say, hurricane, I blame the European common market. That's what's called a hurricane. That's what. But you see, if you're your Lord Chief Justice and you say something like, sometimes I wonder where we're all going, and then the newspapers run a headline, Lord Chief Justice questions destination.
It's also a weird thing with this. Where the theory is that people, particularly young people, can't listen to people talking for a long time. The art of oratory will die because people will not listen to one person speaking. But there's a very simple argument against that, and that is stand-up comedy. People, you go to Edinburgh, there are hundreds of people doing a full hour of just talking, and there are thousands and thousands of other people, a lot of them very young, going, so there's nothing wrong with young people's ability to listen to people talking. The problem here is not that young people are not capable of listening to people talking, it's that the barristers aren't doing enough jokes.
So the case for the prosecution to begin with, hey, where are you from?
Yeah.
That's a rubbish town. What job do you do?
They should be
That's
up
for
there.
Idiots.
This would hold young people in a way that it generally seems to.
Maybe they
Why
could...
is it when you've done a murder, you run like this? But when you've done a pickpocket, it's more like this. What's going on?
At the bottom of the at the bottom of the courtroom, just in sight of the jury, could have a little red bar, so they think they're watching it on iPlayer. The Lord Chief Justice, Lord Judge. Do you think he just grew up and knew what he was going to be? First name Lord, second name Judge. Nothing. Nothing for it. Has warned that the future of the jury system is under threat because today's laptop generation aren't used to sitting and listening. There are fears that unless children start to read more books, they will lose their ability to follow the narrative of a criminal case. It's so bizarre to have a situation where Geoffrey Archer is both the problem and the solution. At the end of round two, the scores are Francis and Steve have got 9 points, but so too have Robin and Jeremy. Before we start round three, here's a cutting from The Times.
Police who helped a German pensioner to find €18,000 that blew from his car also found a receipt indicating that it had been smuggled into the country.
Thanks to Martha Beale from Oxford for sending us that. Robin, who might be straight talking but not straight walking?
This is the psychologist, I think it was, in I can't remember which university in the US, have done a test to find out how people walk and notice clowns while on mobile phones, because the number of crashes into clowns has increased a great deal. There have been terrible damage, doors have flown off, the bonnet's flown up in the air. Basically, they've done a test to find out how people react when they're on the mobile phones, and on their campus, they had a clown cycling around on a unicycle, and notice that people on their phones don't notice a clown on a unicycle, but that's what they presumed, as opposed to people on their phone going, I'm going to keep looking down, there's a clown on a unicycle. And my favourite part of this story is, I think it was in Thursday's newspaper, where it had the guy who set it up, he said, well, the reason we did this is because you just don't see as many unicyclists on university campuses now, which I think is a very upsetting thing, because it makes me think, you know, first they came for the unicyclists, but I was not a unicyclist, so I said nothing. Then they came for the jugglers, but I was not a juggler, so I said nothing. Then they came for the Diablo performers. That's when I was a little bit... Anyway, but...
Researchers at Western Washington University observed that students on mobile phones were so distracted they failed to notice a clown on a unicycle and couldn't walk in a straight line. Professor Ira Hyman dubbed the phenomenon attentional blindness. Oh, that's all students need, another habit to make them blind. The research also confirmed that using a mobile while driving is dangerous. On the M25 this year alone, drivers on mobiles have caused the death of 94 clowns on unicycles.
Is he American, Professor?
I would imagine Western Washington.
Yeah, because he's completely made up the word attentional.
Yes.
Yeah, which is totally unnecessary.
I once bought, not because I wanted one, but just because I couldn't quite believe it, a meat thermometer. I had no need. I know when meat's done, you look at it. A meat thermometer because it would test the doneness of my meat. Do you not love doneness? I think that's just fantastic. Right. Jeremy, who has advertised for an employee of the highest calibre?
Oh, it's a newspaper in America. I think it's Colorado or California or that area.
Colorado.
Are they next to each other? No, probably not. Where it's legal to smoke dope for medicinal purposes, like to get stoned, for example. but they want a reviewer to actually review the head shops where you go to get your weed. And you think, yeah, what's the chances of this guy ever filing on time? Have they not noticed there's a reason why the media is entirely dominated by people on cocaine, as a former BBC staff member revealed this week? Of course, they want people to say, hi, I've got a great idea. Let's get a neo-Nazi on a news programme. It'll be great. It'll be really, really good. It'll be really popular. It'll be a good idea, good idea. Freedom of speech. More Nazis. Yeah, good idea. Good idea, good idea, good idea. You know, and... there's a reason why cokeheads dominate the media, because the media needs to be dominated by arrogant, self-absorbed people who just wanted things to happen very, very quickly with no thought. And dope heads are not the people to be writing, like, and is your column ready? Oh, dude, I'm totally screwed up. I typed it out, and then I needed to skin up, and, like, I had no papers, dude. Okay. Oh, wow. Has anyone got a Twinkie? I'm, like, hypoglycemic.
Marijuana is legal in quite a lot of American states now to alleviate pain. I have several friends, and that's how they got through the Bush years.
Also, if they start reviewing marijuana, you'll get that dreadful divide between broadsheet and tabloid reviewers. Mm. You know, the broadsheet reviewers will be going, this is not a patch on the magnificent reefer rolled by Binky Beaumont at the Colony Club in 1957. And then the Daily Star will just go, skunk-tastic!
Apparently, Denver now has over 100 medical marijuana dispensaries, and they are thinking of having a drive-through dispensary. It's a whole new meaning of happy meal, isn't there?
I want to get a skunk in a cage and stand on Brixton High Street. People walk past going, skunk, you want skunk?
Westwood, a popular alternative paper in Denver, Colorado, popular because it's printed on Rizzlers, has advertised for a medical marijuana correspondent. The lucky applicant will also double up as the all-night garage reviewer. So 2 points to Jeremy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Punt.
Well, because it's radio, someone sent in a picture from Sky News. It's from Dan in Leicester, and it's of a sort of motorway seen from above, and there are some limousines on the motorway, and it says Live Los Angeles, and then there are two strap lines that have come up on the screen at the bottom. The first one says, News alerts, Jackson family members travel to private funeral at Forest Lawn Cemetery. And then underneath, scrolling across the bottom, it says, England and Australia prepare to fight over ashes.
Mr. Ince.
This is from the borough of Odby in Wigston, Leicestershire, and this is a website for their housing services. This is tenancy termination. If you wish to end your tenancy, you should give the council at least 4 weeks' written notice that you're going to leave your home effective from Monday dates. There are two exceptions to this. Number one, death. 2 weeks' notice is acceptable.
Let's take a look at the final score. Francis and Steve have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Robin and Jeremy with 13. And before we leave you, here is a cutting from the BBC News website sent to us by Joe Gregory from Spain.
Ramon Tikaram has joined EastEnders. It's great to be joining a programme that represents a Muslim family in a positive light, the actor said. Tikaram will first appear on screen later this year when Amira visits him in prison.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Ween, Steve Punt, Robin Ince and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleaze. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and Lucy Clark, with additional material by Dale Phillips, John Luke Roberts and Gareth Gwynn. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.